we are in the time of the resurrection, the week of Easter, and we're immersed in the thoughts of what the apostles are going through right after the death of Jesus. Here they are, several days after the death of our Lord, and Jesus is appearing to all kinds of people, and they're all kind of wondering what's going on, what's true, what's not. The women say that they saw Jesus and they held on to his feet, and the men haven't seen Jesus yet, and the disciples of Emmaus, maybe St. John, maybe one of the other apostles, walking, and they're all sad, and Jesus walks among them and shows himself at the breaking of the bread, and they're all happy, and they rush back to Jerusalem and tell the other apostles, and they're all kind of all buzzing with the news of what's going on, what's real, what's true, what's not. And then in the midst of this hubbub, Jesus appears right in their midst. What a fantastic story. A fantastic thing. What if it happened to you? What if you were in the upper room and Jesus appeared right in the middle of the group of people you're with, and you don't know what he is? Is he a ghost? Is he real or not? Or what is going on here? After all the cataclysm of the death of Jesus, which was known by everyone in Jerusalem, every single person, nobody did not know about what happened to Jesus and who he was. And just fantastic time. And what is true? What isn't true? Was this really Jesus? Is this a ghost? Is this really his body? Or is he just animating his dead body? Or what's going on? And Jesus is saying, this is my real body. See my wounds? I will eat something in your presence. And so he shows them this is real. This is real. But, you know, reality is not always what you can feel and see. And, you know, reality is God, the spirit world, attached to the physical world, what things would that really happen. So the physical is part of reality, but there's the spirit world too, what the teachings of our Lord, what's the truth, things that really happened. So a lot of this is theology too, attached to the physical things that happen. And it's the church that guides us to these things, because our Lord appeared and then he disappeared. So you can't grab a hold and point and scientifically point that was his body. It's gone, not here anymore. And what about the Eucharist? You can't see the spirit there. You can't even see his body there, but we know it's his body and blood. So the theology here is really important, and we need that infallible guidance of the church to help us. And you see that sort of the guidance in the first reading of St. Peter speaking to the people and really convicting them of their guilt. They were participating in the murder of our Lord. You know, after the Holy Spirit comes down upon the apostles, and Peter addresses the people, "You children of Israel." No, this wasn't the Holy Spirit, sorry. This is when Peter and John heal the crippled man, and people are all amazed, and he says, "You children of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why do you look so intently at us as if we had made him walk by your own power? The God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead." So he's really convicting them. He's really pointing out their wrongdoing and making them see. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit is opening their hearts to help them to repent. And then he gives them hope. You know, come to Jesus. He will forgive your sins. Be converted, repent, that your sins may be wiped away, and that the Lord may grant you times of refreshment. So he gives them hope. And 3,000 people were won that day and came to baptism. This is the leader of the church, Peter. Peter guiding us, the first pope, St. John, and how important it is to have the guidance of the church in these changing times. We always live in changing times, and we need to know the truth so that we're not confused and are not led astray. When we're led astray, people get led astray and say, wow, I followed that person, I followed what he was teaching, and now I realize he's a fraud. Now I don't believe in anything. That's what happens. And instead, we have the sober truth in the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church's teachings, and so we're so full of great gratitude, but also full of joy, like these apostles, after seeing Jesus, knowing that he is risen from the dead. Not just because they felt his body, his wounds, they saw him eating fish, but because he said this beforehand. He said all this was going to happen. They just didn't believe it. They just didn't know it could happen. He said he was going to rise from the dead, and he did. So it's not just the physical world, the senses, but also the teachings that God gives us that we hold on to and that we see confirms over and over in the church. So let's be full of gratitude and joy and thankfulness to God for all that Jesus did for us and that for the church he has given to us and continues to guide us through today.
Fructum ventris tui.